All right, man. You guys, Celebration Church, you guys are in for a treat tonight. First of all, before Pastor Stephen comes up, I just want to say one thing. He has his brand new book out, Son, Stand Still. This book is a must read for every believer that is serious about their walk with God. On the back of the book, the first line says it all right? This book is not a Snuggie. Come on, are you starting to get fired up already? I would buy the book. You didn't need to say anything else. On this cover, Stephen, front or back, but it's a phenomenal book. It's about believing God for the impossible. There's a bunch of books out there in the Resource Center, and I know Pastor Stephen will be talking more about that tonight, but Pastor Stephen's not only the author of Son, Stand Still, he pastors a phenomenal church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Do we have any North Carolina? Come on, let me hear you. Where you at, North Carolina? Do we have any UNC? UNC? I hear some. We have a couple of staff that are UNC. Do we have any NC State, Duke? There's a big rivalry. Y'all are weak fans. Y'all need to step it up. But he pastors a phenomenal church, Elevation Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And you talk about fast growing. It has just exploded in just 4.5 years. They're up to like 5,000 or 6,000 people, just reaching people by the droves. Stephen is he's a phenomenal gifted leader and communicator, and we're just so thankful to be able to have him here tonight. He's become a good friend, and I want you to give the best Celebration Church honoring welcome that you can for this young man right here. Come on, let's stand our feet, put it together. Pastor Stephen Furtick.
Hey, you know what? If you could stay standing for just a moment, I wanted to tell you something. I've been hearing about your church for like 6 years now, and the rumors of your fame have spread far and wide. And the first time I heard about your church, I was really attracted to the name of your church. And I thought to myself, that sounds like the happiest church in America. And so I wanted to see if you are as advertised. So when I say three, I just want to see when I say the name Jesus, what does Celebration Church do? Just because, you know, you ought to live up to your name, you know? And I just wanted to test you out. I do get to travel quite a bit and speak all across this great nation of ours. And so if you're going to call yourself Celebration, you better bring the goods. When I say three, I'm going to say the name of Jesus, and I just want to see what you can do. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus. That's all right. That's not bad, man. That's not bad. Yeah. I feel you. All right. Y'all shut that down. You're cutting into my preaching time. I'm on a schedule here. Be seated. So good to be with you tonight. I bring you greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Furtick family, and the Elevation Church. Some of the most phenomenal people on the planet. I'm so appreciative that my wife come to let me share with you. The reason she let me out of the house for this event is because she loves Pastor Carey so much. They were able to spend some time together recently, and my wife came away saying, I don't know that there's a pastor's wife, and not just that you're just a pastor's wife. You're bad to the bone in your own right. Hey. Telling Joyce Meyer she can get behind me. I don't know. This ain't going out on streaming, so I can say what I want. If it was going out streaming, and I know you're going to put it online later, I usually like to sing to my wife on the air. You know, she watches me at home. It's a great way for us to stay connected. It keeps things romantically primed, and it's just a wonderful thing to do. It helps me to keep my marriage really loving. And I just always like to select a different song, and I thought I might pull out something for y'all tonight, because this will be online later, And I just wanted to have a worldwide documentation of my love for my bride. And I'll start preaching in just a moment. But I was just thinking about this song. I know y'all don't know this song because y'all are real hip. In North Carolina, we listen to old music. And there was a song. It's been a long time since this song was out, I think before I was born. But the song said, I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, yeah. What's the next line? The month of May. Dang it, I should have Googled that before I came up here singing. Anyway, love my family, my children. I got a five-year-old. He plays t-ball right now for the Mudcats. And it's exciting. You know, the Mudcats are undefeated. According to my calculation, they don't officially keep score, but I do. And according to how I've been tabulating the score, the Mudcats are the champions of their division. I also have a three-year-old named Graham, named after evangelist Billy Graham in our city. And he just turned three this past week. He had a Buzz Lightyear party, and he had wings that light up. And just love my family. We just found out that we're having a third baby, and it's going to be a girl. So we're excited, man. And just, I don't know why I like to talk about my family when I go out. I just think sometimes you need to know that the preacher standing up in front of you is real with flesh and blood. And also, I wanted you to know that I take it very seriously when I'm away from my family. These are some formative years for my family. And so I really like to take speaking engagements and preaching events that are more than just a gig. I really endeavor to share all of my heart and hopefully to leave something with you that'll just inspire your life. And I don't think there's anything that I love more than speaking to a room full of leaders. I really don't. I know some of you aren't leaders yet. Tonight, my aim is to change that, because I've been thinking about it, and it would take a great level of stupidity to keep you from wanting to be a part of something this special. And I don't think any of you in the room are dumb enough to miss out on an opportunity like this. I'm looking around. You seem reasonably intelligent. And if you live within 50 miles, I mean, I was sitting there listening to those statistics, and I was thinking about moving my membership, seeing if I could get a job playing guitar or something. I wanted to fire somebody at my church. I was like, dang, we're not doing anything. I thought we were doing pretty good. Now I'm depressed. I want to slip my wrist. I hate my life. But it just really is a joy to hear about how awesome you are, and then to think about how far I have to go. And now I'm completely intimidated to stand in front of you. Here's what I want to do, though, if this is okay with you. And I guess even if it's not okay with you, this is what I'm going to do. As Pastor Stovall mentioned, and first of all, I cannot say enough things about your pastor. Let me tell you what I think that Pastor Stovall and Pastor Carey mean to the body of Christ. What I was telling you earlier before I got sidetracked is that my wife says that she's never met a pastor's wife with a greater heart for the church that God has called her to lead than Pastor Carey. And you know how, I don't know how many of you are on Twitter, but how many of you are on Twitter? Would you raise your hand? Or even Facebook, you know, same deal. You know how they have those little profile pics? And on my phone, they're really, really tiny. And so I was scrolling through some profile pics the other day, just randomly, and looking at everybody that I follow and everybody that follows me, and just like, man, I was thinking, I got some good-looking people that I follow on Twitter. And then I was, you know, I was even looking at some of the profile pics of the people that I knew. And as I looked at them, I was like, they don't really look that good in real life. And here's what, I had this thought. I clicked on one of them, and I was like, the closer you look, the worse most people appear. Like, most of us look decent from far enough away, but if you, like, zoom in, and I'm talking about me. Like, I actually looked at my profile pic, and I was like, oh, it's a pretty good picture of me. Then I clicked on it and made it bigger, and I was like, whoa, make it smaller again. I like it better from far away. I like the way I look better from far away. And sometimes I think it's like that with leaders. They're more impressive from far away. What I wanted to say about your leaders is that getting to know Pastor Stovall's heart over the last couple of years, and speaking on behalf of my wife, who spent several days with Pastor Carey, you really do have the kind of leaders that the closer you get, the more you see Jesus in them. The closer that you get, the more integrity you see. And I know some of you are skeptical and you're like, well, they must have talked backstage and they worked out a deal where, you know, he's supposed to say a lot of good things about Pastor Stovall and then Pastor Stovall will sell his book. None of that garbage. Just from my heart. Because look, man, here's the deal. I don't have to make you like me tonight. I'm going home tomorrow morning to a hot wife and cute kids, whether you like me or not. I don't have to say anything that I don't want to say. I'm just saying from the bottom of my heart, God has given you some of the most dynamic leaders in the body of Christ to lead you. You're in the middle of a move of God. It's a special, special thing. I hope you'll never take it for granted. And so I want to share with you the miracle from Joshua chapter 10 that the book, Sun Stand Still, is themed around. And I really do believe God has a word for us tonight. I just feel really good about the timing of being here and what God has put in my heart to say. And if you don't mind, if you could stand to your feet one more time, we're going to stand to our feet in honor of the reading of God's word. Joshua chapter 10, verse 7 is where we'll begin. And this miracle is so exciting to me and so meaningful to me. And I don't know if it'll be the first time that you've ever heard about this miracle. It's not the most famous miracle in the Old Testament. But to me, there's just so much here about what God is doing in your church and what I believe he wants to do in your life. And tonight I want to speak to you about what happens when you dare to ask God for the impossible in your life and in your church. And the situation surrounding this text is that Joshua needs more time to defeat his enemy. And God literally prolongs the day so that Joshua can win the battle. And in that context, we read this, Joshua 10, verse 7. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand." I love that, how God is already speaking in past tense about a battle that Joshua hasn't even begun to fight. I have given them. It's like you're just watching the replay of this thing. The outcome has already been decided. It's like you're just watching this thing back on DVR. It's already done. Maybe it'll just comfort you tonight. Maybe I flew in from North Carolina just to tell someone, you're in a big battle. It seems like all the odds are against you. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but here's the final word. Jesus is victorious. The battle is won. Nothing is impossible with our God. God has already accomplished everything that is pertinent to your destiny and your contribution in this world. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, who defeated them in a great victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them from the sky. Maybe I'm sadistic, but I kind of like that. I like that picture of God. Here he is raising ruckus on behalf of his children, defeating enemies for the glory of his name. We serve a mighty God. Amen. And more of them died from the hailstones than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Isn't it good to know that at the end of the day, all that you can do doesn't even measure up to what God can do, and it's more about him than it is about you? Amen. He can do more in a moment of supernatural activity than we can do in a lifetime of human striving. On the day, verse 12, this is my verse right here. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, "O sun, stand still over Gibeon. O moon, over the valley of Ajalon." And the reason I'm closing my eyes as I quote those verses is because that's what I'm praying over your church tonight. I feel like our time together is so appointed by God and so predetermined because this vision Sunday that you're about to have, triple tithe day, I kind of like that idea. I'm thinking I might implement that and let you know how it goes. This new season that's upon you and all the things that God is calling you into, I believe that this is a church that can by all rights say we have seen the sun stand still. That is, we have seen God intervene in our church's life, in our individual lives, in our city, and really all over the world through our influence in a miraculous way. We have seen God do something so big through our ministry that only He could take the credit. That's the way I want to live my life. I want to see God do something so big through my life and our church and your church and through our connection together through this generation of believers that God is raising up all over the world. I want it to be so big that the watching world will have to blame God. And so I'm praying that in our time together, in these few moments we have, that God would cause the sun to stand still over your life tonight, and that He would illuminate your purpose and maybe awaken destiny that has been lying dormant inside of you, maybe even for years. I'm praying that the sun would stand still. And the Bible says in verse 13, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jasher. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. And there's never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a man. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. God, I pray today in the matchless name of Jesus that the sun would stand still and You would create a holy moment so that I could speak specific truth to these people that would directly affect the situations of their life and give them a panoramic view of Your glory, that we would be able together to see what is possible when we ask audaciously for the God who created everything we see and even the forces that we don't see that holds it all together to do the impossible in our lives. Thank You for this wonderful church. Allow me in this time, Lord, to speak powerful truth to them that will raise their faith. God, I feel like some of the people in this room tonight are dreaming too small. They've settled into survival mode. And if You'll use me tonight to jar them and through Your word awaken potential inside of them, I believe the world will never be the same. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody at Celebration Church said amen. Amen. Before you take your seat, turn to the person next to you and tell them, you look like you've been working out. You may be seated. Here's why I love this miracle so much. I believe that this sun stands still miracle, while it may not be normative in the sense that the scripture says there's never been a day like it before or since, and while God may never repeat this exact performance, I believe that the spirit of Joshua's faith is a spirit that we should imitate. And that's what I love about your pastor. That's what I love about your church, is that I see that Joshua spirit of faith in here. You can feel it. It's electric when you come into the room. Now, one of the things about being a leader in a ministry like this is that you can become so familiar with the fantastic and phenomenal things that God is doing that they lose some semblance of their significance because you become so accustomed to what used to be abnormal that you treat it as common, and what you fail to celebrate will eventually exit your life. That's true whether we're talking about a marriage or whether we're talking about a job or whether we're talking about a church. What you fail to celebrate will eventually exit your life. One of the first things I wanted to show you in reference to this sun stand still miracle tonight is that we must begin again to expect God to move in supernatural ways and never be surprised when He does, but always be amazed. We should expect Him to do great things through this church. We should expect Him to do great things in your family, in your business, in your life. And I see sun stand still as a metaphor for any seemingly impossible thing that you need God to do in your life. This is the operating system of my faith. This is how I live and this is what I believe. If the size of the vision that you have for your life isn't intimidating to you, there's a good chance it's insulting to God. Somebody ought to tweet that. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you how you can know whether or not you've heard from God. Has anybody laughed at your vision lately? Have you laughed at your own vision lately? Abraham received a promise from God so powerful that he'd have a baby at age 100 and he needed to chase Sarah around the house a little bit, that he actually fell on his face and laughed at what God told him was going to be. And so I believe in that kind of faith, and I think this sun stands still miracle. It not only represents what God did for Joshua, it represents the kind of thing that he wants to do in your life today. And maybe it's because I'm just 30 years old. You know, I'm a baby preacher. And I'm kind of this young punk, and I haven't lived long enough to learn that there's a such thing as impossibility. That's why you need a young punk to preach to you every once in a while. Because you need somebody to stand up and grab a microphone every once in a while and remind you of the ridiculous. And some of you used to dream big for God, and you used to think big thoughts and imagine vastly what God could do through your life if you were surrendered to him. But you know what can happen? Time can talk you out of your dreams. Life can beat the audacious faith right out of you. And so many Christians that I meet have settled into spiritual survival mode. But here's what I believe, and I'm staking my life on this. I started a church with 7 families who sold their houses and quit their jobs and moved to Charlotte, believing God would turn a city upside down for his glory. We had no connections, limited funding, just a dream and a vision. And here's where it all came to a head for us. I believe that God called me to do far more than survive this world. I don't believe Jesus died on a brutal cross and saved me to survive the world. He saved me to change it for his glory through the power of audacious faith. And so, I don't know what you need God to do in your life tonight. I don't know what the impossible situation you're up against is right now, but I know this. If what you need God to do in your life is too big for you, it's just the right size for God. What we consider to be an impossibility isn't even remotely difficult for him. And as I stated earlier, you can get so familiar with what God is doing in a church like this. I'm going to be bouncing back and forth for the next 21 minutes and 21 seconds. That's how long I have left. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the church and a little bit about you. And I want to address both because I feel like this Sun Stand Still message applies for all of you at an individual level. Some of you have a financial need in your life tonight, and you need God to make the sun stand still. And I'm not a doofus preacher who manipulates you to get stuff from you and promises you things that, you know, might or might not happen. See, I don't know. I can't tell you the check's going to be there tomorrow morning. I can't tell you the business is going to turn around by next week. I can't tell you that your loveless marriage is going to be resurrected by this time next month. And I wouldn't dare propagate such nonsense in the name of Jesus to you by promising you that if you'll do sun stand still, abracadabra, pray a prayer, and inject a formula into your faith life that you can get God in your back pocket and manipulate you for his purposes. But here's what I will tell you, and I promise you this, and I'll stand toe-to-toe with you. I don't care how big a boy you are. I'll stand toe-to-toe with you and say this to your face no matter what your situation is. If God doesn't allow you to see the miracle in your life, he will allow you to be the miracle. And if he doesn't do it for you, he'll do something in you in such a way that the watching world will see your faith and know that it had to be God. Whatever you're facing tonight, in your family, in your emotions, some of you are depressed. You need God to lift your spirit. Some of you have somebody who's lost that you've been praying for years. I don't know what you need specifically God to do in your life, but I know this about our God. If we have the audacity to ask, he has the ability to perform. The audacity of our prayers will never exceed God's ability to perform. We never back him into a corner. It is time. It is so time. It is past time for us to begin praying prayers worthy of the God we're praying to. We're talking about a God who can make the sun stand still. You think your situation intimidates him? Don't flatter yourself. You're not that important. Your situation isn't that hard. Your marriage isn't that far gone. Your relationship isn't that broken. The need in your life isn't that great. And so I was thinking about this, about your church. You know, most of you in here are leaders. Raise your hand again if you're a leader, you're a leader, you're a leader, you're a leader. Okay, if you don't have your hand up, come on, man. It's time. This is your night. I'm going to have an altar call. just as I am, without one plea, you could come to the front. We'll pray for you. We'll get you in leadership. But here's what I wanted to say to those of you who are in leadership. In fact, if you're in leadership, stand up. All right. You know, leading in a church like this, you get a front row seat to all the things that God is doing. It's amazing. You're the first one to see it. When a life has changed, you get the stories. You're right there. You're in the center of the action. You would think that because you're on a front row seat in this ministry, that you would be the most amazed by the things God does. Sometimes, though, let me tell you what happens. Sometimes being on the front row causes you to miss the impact of what God is doing, and it can blow right past you. I'll give you an example of that. In one of our campuses, I was visiting. This was actually several years ago, and I sat on the front row because, I mean, I get a special seat because I'm the preacher. And so I was on the front row, and the seat was really close to the stage, which should be the best seat in the house. And the music started, and I noticed that something was really off in the mix, and I'm a musical guy. I used to play guitar in a lot of punk rock bands and stuff like that growing up before I got saved. And so I'm like really, really attuned to the mix. And so I was fussing about it Tuesday in our production meeting with our worship pastor, Wade. I said, Wade, I was at such and such campus, and I was in my seat on the front row, and the music sounded horrible. Well, a few other people who were in the room wrongly suggested that I was wrong. And they were like, no, it sounded great. I was in there. It sounded pretty good. There was nothing wrong. And then we started comparing where they were sitting to where I was sitting. And they were sitting farther back in the room. And so here I was on the front row, and we found out through thorough investigation that there was a dead spot on the front row because of the way the speakers were positioned. The sound was actually shooting out right past me on the front row, and everybody else in the house could hear it except me because there was a dead spot on the front row. Here's what can happen to you in leadership, and this is why it's wise for you to gather together like this, and this is why it was worth your effort to come out tonight. Because if you're not careful, you can find yourself in the dead spot on the front row, and everybody else in the house and people like me in another state are watching what God is doing through this church, and you can miss it. It can shoot right past you. And part of the reason that we gather together on nights like tonight is just to remind you that you have seen the sun stand still. I want you to say it out loud. I have seen the sun stand still. And don't you ever forget it, baby. Don't you ever apologize for it. Don't you ever take it for granted. You have seen the sun stand still. You've seen things in 12 years of a church's history that many churches don't get to see in 12 lifetimes. Now, y'all can sit down. I want to say something to the whole church. You know how he was reading all those stats and it almost was like overwhelming? Listen. Here's what happens in a church like this. God does so many awesome things, and it's like you get used to it, and it becomes familiar. All right, so Pastor Stovall stands up, and he goes, year to date, we have over 4,800 decisions for Christ, okay? That should be like let me fall on my face like I just saw the angel, the commanding angel of the army of God. Did you say 4,800? Yeah, he said 4,800. I'm looking at my guys. Did he say 4,800 decisions? Yeah, this year. Then he keeps on going. I wrote down some of the stuff he said. He said, and he said this like an aside. This was like, by the way. We started a campus on a submarine. I'm like, what? Hold up. But rewind. What? Did you just say a campus on a submarine? I turned my guy and said, he said a campus on a freaking submarine? Did he say that? Did I hear that correctly? A campus on a submarine? Yeah, they got a campus on a submarine. A campus on a submarine. I wrote down some other stuff too. He said 23 campuses in Zimbabwe. No, no, no. So you're like, you come to a church like this and you're like, oh yeah, 23 in Zimbabwe. That's pretty cool. It's not pretty cool. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. It's astounding. It's outstanding. It's excellent. And so here's what we had to do. Here's what we had to do in that campus I was telling you about. We had to put these speakers right on the front of the stage called front fill speakers. And what they do is they enable the people on the front row to hear the sound. That's what this night is all about. That's why I came in here. That's why God put it in my heart to fly into this church and preach to you tonight. Because I want to be a front fill speaker. Just reminding you that anytime your pastor stands up and says, we've been feeding 23,000 children a day in Zimbabwe. Anytime he says that, look, don't get too familiar with that. I told your staff earlier about how I used to work in a fireworks stand. And when you work in a fireworks stand, you meet every conceivable variety of human being, particularly every conceivable variety of redneck, and you see every conceivable variety of mullet. You really do. And it gets agitating because you're like, I was a 12-year-old kid working in this fireworks stand. And it was like, I used to love fireworks till I had to work in a fireworks stand. Now, here's why I hated working in a fireworks stand, because people would ask me for 14 hours a day, and they'd point to every product in the stand, and they'd say, what does that do? And I'd be like, well, you light it, and it goes up in the air, and it blows up, and it makes colors. Okay, and then they'd ask me about another one. What does that one do? Well, that one goes way up in the air. Makes a lot of colors, blows up in the air. And you just want to scream after a certain amount of time. Everything in the stand blows up. I don't know any other way to tell you. It all just blows up. That's all it does. It all blows up. Now watch this. Watch this. My friends would be like, hey, you must love working in the fireworks stand. Isn't that amazing? And I would be like, no, I hate fireworks. I would rather have to snap the necks of baby unicorns all day long than sell fireworks. I'm familiar with the fireworks. So this is one thing I wanted to say. Don't get familiar with the fireworks at this church. When God does something great, don't just celebrate it. Give to it. Don't just give to it. Serve toward it. Believe for it. Give God the glory every time he does something great, because what you fail to celebrate will eventually leave your life. This was a moment in time. The Bible says it was an extraordinary day, unlike any other day, a day when the Lord listened to a man. I believe your church is living in an extraordinary day, unlike any other day. One of the reasons I love this Sun Stand Still miracle is because it illustrates the power of a defining moment. I had a defining moment at age 16. That's why I want to say to any students in here, don't let anybody tell you that you've got to wait till you get a little bit older to get busy for God. In fact, I think God has to get a hold of some people young before they start getting beat down, worn down, torn up, busted and disgusted by the trials of life. And you know, I was 16 years old and I read a book, and on page 23 of the book, this pastor had been telling all these stories about what God had done in his church. And he said on page 23 of the book, I'll never forget the sentence, man. It was sitting at my parents' kitchen table. I just finished washing dishes. This pastor had given me the book and told me to read it by next Tuesday, and he was going to quiz me on it. And so I was reading the book at my parents' kitchen table. It was the first Christian book I'd ever willfully read. I'd only been a Christian 3 months, and I came across this sentence. I despaired at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on our behalf. And I could not have put this into a purpose statement for you at the time. I don't even know if I could have explained it to you with any clarity whatsoever, but somehow I knew in my heart, through reading that sentence in that book, God has called me one day to start a church somewhere in the United States of America in a major city to reach people far from God. I knew nothing about major cities, man. I grew up in a small town called Monk's Corner, South Carolina, just outside of Charleston. Don't shout like you know where that is. You don't know about Monk's Corner. Seriously, the town was so small, a lot of people considered a trip to Walmart like an event to get dressed up for, and they would call it going to town. We're going to town. And here I was like this small town kid, and I felt like God was putting a city in me that I would transform one day, but I didn't even know what the city would be. And it was like this big vision inside of a small town kid, and I had no idea how it would happen, but it was that defining moment. See, like this Sun Stand Still moment wasn't the beginning of Joshua's faith. Joshua had his defining moment. I call it my page 23 vision, because it was on page 23 that I read, I despaired at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on my behalf. But Joshua had his page 23 moment in Joshua chapter 1 when the Lord said to him, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. I have promised to give you every place you set your foot. And I've got to believe that in this moment, this crisis in battle, that Joshua went back to that defining moment. I got to believe that he went back to the vision God had given him, that defining moment. You know, that's what kept me from having sex with another girl before I married my wife. That's why we waited until our wedding day to kiss, and we wanted to go into marriage pure together, because I had a vision for my life. And I believe one of the problems with students in our nation is that we're giving them rules to live by, when what we really need to give them is a calling to live for. Instead of hoping that they'll turn out to be good little boys and girls, we need to raise them up to be great men and women of God. And it's not just for 16-year-olds either. What I was praying in my hotel room before I came over here, I was like, God, let somebody listening to me tonight, and I'm not going to lie to you guys, man, I'm tired. I've been on the road like an idiot, running and gunning and preaching. Like for the last 3 weeks straight, I did this ridiculous thing the day my book released, which I know you're going to purchase. I want to talk about my book for a moment. I'm going to give the camera a little Joel Osteen love and sell my book. It's real positive. I do want you to purchase the book, because all of the proceeds go to feed hungry children. Mine. And we've got it here tonight, and you can buy it. Check, cash, credit card, jewelry, firstborn son. I want you to get this, but... I felt like God told me the day we released the book to preach for 24 hours straight. And we called it The Day the Sun Stood Still. And so for 24 hours straight, and there were people telling me it's a gimmick and it's just a sales pitch. And really in my heart, I felt like God wanted me to do something audacious. Like, that's the heart of this message. It's like this man has the audacity to stop and stare and point at the sun and command the sun to stand still. And God is so pleased with this man's faith. It's not like Joshua earned the miracle. You can't earn God's favor. You can't earn his blessing. But it's as if God said, if you're going to put yourself out there to the point where you're going to believe me in front of a whole nation to do what only I can do, then I will create a defining moment in your life. Now look, Joshua had no idea. I can guarantee you, he had no idea how this was going to play out. Just like Peter when he was walking on the water, man. Peter, Matthew chapter 14, I know you've heard this story, your Bible students. Peter gets out of the boat to walk toward Jesus, okay? And we give Peter a lot of credit for walking on the water. Personally, I don't think he made it very far. Because listen, Jesus in the entire scheme of this miracle had plans to catch Peter all along. Peter sees the wind and the waves, and we think the miracle is that Peter got out of the boat and believed he could walk on water. I don't think Peter believed he could walk on water. I think what Peter believed is that even if I go down, Jesus is there to catch me. That's the spirit of audacious faith. Look, I'm going to give big. I'm going to serve with all my heart. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust. I'm going to believe. And I know this message might seem a little ambiguous. And you're going to have to take what I've shared with you tonight and buy the book and put it all together in another context. But here's what I wanted to say to you, Celebration Church. God isn't calling you at this point in your life to believe him enough to understand how it's going to turn out. He's simply calling you to have enough faith to take the first step. That's all Peter did. Enough faith for the first step. And the Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you'll have enough faith to take the first step, guess what? Jesus will work out the backup plan. Jesus will work out the logistics. Jesus will work out everything in the LMNOP stage. You just do A, B, and C. What does that look like for you? Some of you are facing an impossible situation in your life right now in regards to your children. You're praying that God would bring your children closer to himself, and you need him to do that. Well, you know what? I can't promise you that if you'll do the following things, your children will be on fire for God by next Tuesday. But here's what I can tell you. If you'll take the first step and start claiming God's promises over your children, I believe with all my heart, here's what you got to do. If you're going to pray that the sun would stand still, you'd better be ready to march all night. What I mean is, if we're going to ask God, we better be prepared to act in advance toward the answer. faith for the first step. I just appreciate so much that God has placed a man like Stovall Weems in my generation because he has a pure heart. I wrote down a few words because I really do believe this is kind of a Joshua of our generation. I know that might sound a little melodramatic, but trust me, when you're 30 years old and you started a church 4.5 years ago and you don't know what you're doing, you're looking for big brothers who can help guide you along the way. And your pastor is a big brother to me to just help me see what it looks like to be hungry for God. I mean, when he preaches, I just wrote down a few things that I think about when I think about him. I don't know if this will resonate with you. I didn't ask his permission to do this, and I may get in trouble, but, you know, he's like a hybrid. Because he's like this old school Holy Ghost preacher, but he looks cool and puts product in his hair. And it's like, you're not used to seeing those two together. Another thing I was thinking, like, he's passionate, but he's also smart. I mean, a lot of people have a lot of passion, not so much of the brains. And then a lot of people have a lot of brains, not so much heart. You've got a brain and a heart. I think that's awesome. I do. And I think in this age of flash and dash ministry where anybody can get a Twitter account and a blog and anybody can have the appearance of a successful ministry, I'm just grateful for a couple that God is raising up that will lead you to fast and pray and bring you back to the core biblical principles of faith. That's why you're seeing the sun stand still over this ministry, because there's a couple standing out front saying, sun stand still. And you know what? I guarantee you, there are days when Pastor Stovall goes home and looks at Carrie after he stood up in front of you and cast vision, and he goes, I hope that works, because I've never tried that before. I don't know if this is going to happen the way I said it's going to happen, but at least I'm going to go down believing God. When I was 16, come take my Bible so I'll start closing this sermon. I got 2 minutes and 6 seconds. When I was 16, I had just given my life to Christ, and my dad was an alcoholic. If somebody can come start playing something too, that'll probably make me hurry up. I'm gonna play something. My dad was like, I don't know how to explain this to you, but my dad had a really rough life, and he was the best dad he could be, but you got to understand, my dad's dad killed himself. My dad woke up on his 8th birthday, and he found his dad's dead body. And I always thought that that would be about the saddest thing that could happen to a little boy. And then my dad shared with me, as I got a little older, that he was actually very glad to see his father go because he was such a mean, abusive drunk. And so that was my father's 8th birthday gift. And obviously, growing up in a very poor family, he had to drop out of school early. He didn't complete the 8th grade. He had to go work. And my dad, like I said, was there for me to the extent he could be, but he had a lot of addictions he had carried into his life, both from his childhood. And actually, he went through 2 marriages before he married my mom. And when he hooked up with my mom, he inadvertently got joined with a woman who didn't believe in divorce. And so she started praying for him. And for all of my life, my dad carried around not only an addiction to alcohol, but an addiction to drugs. And then at age 16, God radically saved me, and I started praying. I didn't know it at the time, but I started praying a sun stand still prayer for my dad, that God would turn his heart around. And one morning, I was going off to church, and my dad was going off to drink with his friends like he did every Sunday morning at this little par-3 golf course called McDuffer's. And I turned around before I went out the front door to go to church. I looked at my dad, and I didn't say it in an arrogant way, and I wasn't trying to be condescending. I wasn't trying to preach at him, but I just felt this in my heart. I said, Dad, God's about to turn your life around in a major way. And when he does, it's going to be radical. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be unlike anything you've ever experienced. And I just want to tell you that. And I walked out the door and went to church. It was like a year and a half later. I had gone off to college. I'd been traveling around all summer, preaching with this traveling ministry team all over the state of South Carolina. And my dad came to hear me preach for my last preaching engagement the summer of my freshman year. And I preached my sermon and went and sat down on the front row, and I was praying while the pastor was giving the invitation. People started coming forward for the invitation, and I felt his hand on my shoulder, and it was my pastor, Pastor Mickey. And he said, "Stephen, you may want to look down there at the front of the church. There's somebody that I think you'll want to pray with." And I looked down there, and my dad, who was like 6'2", at the time he was about 260 pounds, this big guy, I'd only seen him cry once in my entire life. He's sobbing at the altar. And so I put my arm around him, and I got to lead my dad to the Lord, and I got to watch him over the next several years as he became a Sunday school teacher, as he founded a homeless ministry in the motel where he used to cut hair, as he memorized Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the book of James, and most recently the book of Philippians. Not bad for an eighth grade dropout. On the day that I preached for 24 hours straight, guess who got in his car and drove 3.5 hours from Monk's Corner, South Carolina, to Charlotte to sit in the back of the church auditorium and fast for his boy and pray and took notes the entire 24 hours. My dad has had liver cancer and a transplant. His health is such that some days he can't even hardly get out of the chair. And he came to fast for me and sat in the back of the auditorium, and now he's praying with me. He took a little box of my son's Stand Still books and he sells them all over the town of Munch Corner. He don't give them away. He sells them. Why am I sharing that with you? Because you can argue with me on a theoretical level. And you can tell me all day long that your situation's impossible. But my dad told me a few years after he came to Christ, he looked at me one Thanksgiving dinner, and he said, "I want to tell you something, Stephen." He said, "At the time that you told me that God was going to change my life, I felt sorry for you because you had no idea how far gone I was. And yet you believed God for me when I didn't have anything to believe myself." And so I just stopped by to encourage you tonight. You're part of a great church. You hear great preaching. There's nothing that I've said tonight that you haven't heard before. You're great leaders. You're doing great things. But for those of you who may be in spiritual survival mode, and maybe you're at a place in your life right now where there's an impossible need, something only God can do, I just wanted to remind you of the God you serve who can make the sun stand still. And if he can stop the sun in its tracks in the middle of the sky, don't you think he can provide for you? Don't you think he can draw close to you? Don't you think he's mighty to save on your behalf? Don't you think that if this God is for us, he's more than the world against us? Come on, Celebration Church. We serve a mighty God, an outstanding God, a capable God, a God who reigns in resurrection power, the God who has been faithful throughout every day of your life. He is able to make the sun stand still. And in the power of a moment tonight, I pray that the sun would stand still over your family. I pray that the sun would stand still over your career. I pray that the sun would stand still over your relationships. I pray that the sun would stand still over your purpose. I pray that the sun would stand still over this great church, that God would continue to blow your mind and bend your brain in such a way that only he can receive the glory for it. I pray that in 10, I pray that in just days from now, God would ignite another fire in this church, that God would once again intervene on behalf of his children, and that everybody in this city and all around this world would know, surely the Lord was fighting for his children, for nothing is impossible to him who believes. Stand up on your feet, Celebration Church. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that the sun is standing still over us even now. We thank you that on the cruel cross of Calvary, as our Savior died, the sun stood still. And as he breathed his last, and as the sky grew black, he opened a way for us forever, that Jesus became our Joshua. And as he leads us into audacious faith tonight, I pray that once again over our lives, we would believe you like never before. I thank you that the best days that this church has ever had are not only ahead of them, but are imminent just before them. And I thank you that you are willing and able to do the impossible if we will be audacious enough to believe and ask. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.